My message today is on deception and unbelief. And there is so much deception going on today. But today I'm going to speak on a certain aspect of it, kind of zero in on it. But before I do, I want to read some scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "The coming of the lawless one is based on Satan's working, with all kinds of false miracles and signs and wonders." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 13, he says, "For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no great thing if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their destiny will be according to their works." I like to listen to videos from the Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, and she has some really good pastors on and different Christian leaders on every week. And they talk about current events and that sort of thing. And one thing they were talking about the other day was these apparitions of Mary that have been actually for the last several hundred years, but for the last 100 years or so, and then for the last 20 years or so, have become more and more and more frequent. And Roman Catholics and, believe it or not, the religion of Islam believe Mary to be the most revered woman who has ever lived. And some people believe that these apparitions of Mary is going to be used to unite all the world's religions. And millions of people are going to these shrines. One is in Guadalupe, Mexico. It gets like 20 million people a year that go to this shrine to see this. They say it's like a three-dimensional image, a spiritual or miraculous three-dimensional image of Mary, and it's kind of the shining light that they see. 30 million followers have been to the site in Bosnia, of all places. But anyway, thousands of people are going there, and they're seeing signs and wonders happening. One person said it was a living, breathing, three-dimensional lady enveloped in exquisite light. Some claim that they can hear her voice. Other people who call themselves visionaries, they claim they can speak for her. They'll say, "Well, she's saying this now." And one thing she was attributed to her saying, "Only I can help you. My immaculate heart will be your refuge and the way that will lead you to God." And again, they say that Muslims are flocking to these sites and that universalism is being promoted. Universalism meaning all religions. So it doesn't matter what religion you belong to, you can come to Mary and she'll lead you to God. That's what the message is. Of course, we know that that's not true. So what is behind this? What is behind this? Well, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, we're going to look at the first three verses. We're going to find out who's behind it. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to determine if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And this is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit who does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. You have heard that he's coming, and he is already in the world now." So these apparitions of Mary, I believe, and many others do too, that they are demonic appearances actually designed to deceive the masses. And that fits in with my message on deception. So we have all these people visiting all these shrines, and they're looking down, or excuse me, bowing down to Mary. Yet in the scriptures, no one ever bowed down to Mary. Even at Jesus' birth, The people that came to visit the baby, they didn't worship her. They worshiped him. Now, it's true that she was highly favored among women, but she was not divine. She was not divine. So we can see these apparitions, these miraculous apparitions of Mary showing up all over the world, fooling people. And it's going to be, we believe, one of the tools in order to bring the religions together. Now, I want to talk about an individual who may play a very big role in bringing all these religions together and uniting people with what they call the spirit of globalism. We hear that over and over now, that the world is becoming more global and that we need to have a world order in order to save the planet. Well, now let me make a disclaimer first, because before I talk about this. I'm going to be talking about the Pope, okay? Not that I am saying that all Catholics are lost. I'm not saying that. I think there are some very good, devout Catholics who love the Lord and do a lot of services for Him. A lot of Catholics do their works for the Lord and not necessarily because they feel obligated to, okay? However, I also know some Catholics who are very disgruntled and very upset with this Pope that has been in the papacy, in that official title now since 2013. He is called the Vicar of the New World Order. He has made some extremely controversial comments, and he has shaken the very foundations of the Catholic Church. Let me just tell you some of the things that he has said. All religions and all faiths lead to the same God. This is what the Pope said. He has also said everyone is a child of God. He denies the bodily resurrection of Jesus. He denies the doctrine of hell. And he even said that atheists can make it to heaven as long as they are sincere. He also signed a document stating that all religions are a pathway to God. Now, all this goes against historic Roman Catholicism. This is not what they believe as a church. Now, you know, in the Roman Catholic Church, there are priests, and then there are bishops, and then there are cardinals, which are above that. They are way up there. And then one of those cardinals eventually becomes pope when there's an opportunity there. But some cardinals, well, actually many cardinals, disagree with this pope on these statements. But that creates a problem because the pope is considered to be infallible with regard to morals and with regard to faith. So how can this pope be infallible when his views are so different from the previous pope, who was also said to be infallible? How can they both be infallible if they differ? In addition, this pope believes that Muslims worship the same God that we do. Now, I've done a series on Islam before. We know that that is not true. The Bible and the Quran are clearly not compatible, but he's calling for unity with the Muslims. His mission is to carry out a global agenda and to have a one world religion. And you know, it's interesting because in 2013, Pope Benedict retired and they brought this new fellow in, Pope Francis. And something happened, that was only the second time in the history of the church that's happened. It's always happened before that the previous pope died. And so that's only the second time that's ever happened, that Pope Benedict just stepped down and he was brought in. Now, we need to have discernment to figure out what is going on. And the Apostle Paul, he lectured the Galatians in his letter to the Galatians on their lack of spiritual discernment. He was trying to tell them, you need to get your antenna up. He said in chapter 1, verse 6 of Galatians, he said, I'm amazed that you are so quickly turning away from him who called you by the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are troubling you and want to change the good news about the Messiah. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel other than what we have preached to you, a curse be on him. As we have said before, I now say again, if anyone preaches to you a gospel contrary to what you received, a curse be on him. Anyone with discernment would know that this Pope is a false prophet. And the guy that made that quote, his name was Mike Gendron, who was a practicing Catholic for 35 years, started looking into his Bible and he saw some of the contradictions and he got out of that. But he's saying, he's looking back at this and he's saying, it's very obvious this man is a false prophet. He also said, and I quote, he's the most influential and deceptive false teacher in the world. And like I say, the majority of Catholics don't agree with what he says. So what we are experiencing now is a religious Tower of Babel. It's a religious Tower of Babel. It's a reversal of what happened at the Tower of Babel. At the Tower of Babel, the people stayed together and they were uniting and trying to lift themselves above God. They were separating themselves from God and staying together, and God dispersed them. But now they're coming back together. It's a reversal. Those groups that were all dispersed are now trying to join back together again. There's something called interfaithism. And what that means is a blending of all the different faiths together. And it's going to make this new world order possible. Jan Markell said the globalists knew that they needed a globalist pope. So in light of all this information, all this talk about universalism, that all religious roads lead to God, let's look at last week's slide. If I have that, turn this on here. I showed this last week. These verses you need to know, because there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be promoting this sort of thing, and they're going to be asking you, well, what do you think about this movement to bring all the religions together? Aren't we all the same? Again, let's look at these scriptures. John 3:18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So we are condemned because we haven't believed in the name of the only Son of God. If you don't believe in the name of the only Son of God, you are condemned. Whether you're a Hindu, a Buddhist, whatever ism you are, Muslim, you are condemned. Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. And finally, in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, these verses couldn't be any clearer. Yet in this day, the leader of the Catholic Church has 1.3 billion members in the Catholic Church, is saying that all religions and all faiths lead to God. So what's the significance of all this? The Bible tells us rather emphatically that in the end times, there is going to be globalism and the whole world will follow the beast or the Antichrist. The Bible says it's going to happen. It's in Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13 talks about it. Verse 3, talking about the Antichrist. One of his heads appeared to be fatally wounded, but his fatal wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast, the whole earth. And dropping down to verse 7, and he was permitted to wage war against the saints and to conquer them. He was also given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. And verse 8, all those who live on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name was not written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slaughtered. So all those who were not Christians, everyone will worship him. So as alarming as all this is, there's one thing even more alarming than that. And that is that they're now making inroads into the evangelical church. A lot of Protestant churches are now buying into this. 500 years ago, the Reformers, Martin Luther and the Reformers, they were calling the Pope at that time the Antichrist. But today, over 60% of Protestant pastors believe he's a brother in Christ with those beliefs. So let's look at a comparison right now between Protestantism and Catholicism. We are saved by grace through faith alone versus their faith plus works. We are purified of our sin by the blood of Jesus versus their fires of purgatory. Jesus is our mediator versus their priests and cardinals and bishops and the Pope. Catholics believe that works help initiate salvation and are needed to maintain the status of salvation. Christians believe in doing works in service to Jesus, which is an outgrowth of our love for him because of his sacrifice on the cross on our behalf. We cannot add to the work of Christ. We cannot add to it. To think otherwise is an insult to Jesus. We believe by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So in conclusion, we are barreling down this path to globalism and a one-world government. And it's being fueled by the proclamations of the world's most influential religious leader, along with the pandemic and so-called man-made climate change. And all of this means that we are much closer to being raptured out of here. Now, while that's comforting, but we need to have a burden for all those who are lost, all of those who will go through perilous times. We need to set aside distractions, and we need to focus on what is most important, and that's the harvest of souls. And there's never been a more important time than today. I've gone to churches all my life and heard pastors say today is a day of salvation, and that's true. But yet, with each passing day, it gets more and more urgent. And like I always say, when you go to the restaurant, eat your dessert first, maybe. You might think about that. And don't buy green bananas, because I think the rapture's right around the corner. My concern here is for the leader of the Catholic Church and why he was put in there to start with. Again, I say there are some good Catholics out there that love the Lord. But my point today is that apparently he is part of this grand deception that is going to come and fool people. Gullible people, people within evangelical churches are going to be fooled. We know that. And the Bible speaks about how this one world religion is going to happen. And it just is more convincing to me that the time is short and that we need to be, even though we are going to be okay, we need to have that burden for the lost. Let's pray. Dear Lord, each day we learn more and more about what is happening. Each day we can see current events looking like prophecy in the scriptures. And we need to have the discernment to recognize this. And we also need to have the discernment to know when something is not right. We need to have the discernment to know when something is counterfeit. We need to have the discernment to know when someone is making false or heretical statements. And we need to stand up against that. And we also need to have that burden for those that are lost. And may we have the wherewithal and the spiritual guidance to be able to speak with those people who are lost and to bring them into the fold. And we ask this all in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, our closing hymn today is 361. 361, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Let's stand as we sing, Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, my glory. Yes, beyond the river, near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Let's sing that last verse.
Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Amen. If you're able to, if you could stay and help us decorate, we would appreciate it. We might have some refreshments, some food later on for you. And appreciate all of you that do this every year. Like I said, it just seemed like we just put them away. Why are the years getting shorter and shorter as I get older? I'm not sure why that works out that way. Anyway, let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for being here with us today. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for speaking through me. We thank you for Matt, his playing and the singing. We thank you for a wonderful service today. And we just pray for a special blessing on everyone here. And again, please keep us safe, dear Lord, as we decorate our church and try to make it more festive for the holidays. It's a wonderful thing to do, and we have a lot of fellowship, and just please bless us as we do this. In Jesus' name, amen.